Well, good afternoon, welcome. Thank you for bearing with us till the very last session of the conference. Serge and I will be presenting on upgrading your 2007 solutions to SharePoint 2010. I won't be moving for this introduction because I'm using this microphone, and we'll be switching microphones halfway through, just so you know. Before I forget, because I forgot during the last session, there's a box where you can donate money for Haiti near the entrance or the exit, just whichever way you want to look at it. So please, if you have any coins left, put some in there. Well, Serge will introduce himself first, because he can do better than I.
Okay, Serge van den Hoever, working for McCall for almost 12 years now. I'm working there in the knowledge development department, working on our solutions factory. That's our way of doing SharePoint development and also development for other server products. Currently also involved in a large project for a large insurance company, doing a lot of SharePoint architecting, and that's WCM SharePoint. So most of my time I'm working on how we can do better development for SharePoint 2007, currently looking also in how to do that in 2010. Try to blog a lot. Well, it's busy the last year, so didn't do that very much. You can always ask questions, send me an email, and you can follow me by Twitter, although I don't really update it very often. I don't share when I'm getting a coffee. But when I have something to announce or a new blog post, I try to put it on there.
So my name is Miriam van Oost. I'm a Microsoft Certified Master at SharePoint 2007. I'm also an MVP in SharePoint Server. I work as a SharePoint architect at the Information Worker Solution Center at McCall, and I've been working at McCall for 6 years. I'm co-organizing the Dutch Information Worker User Group and the Software Development Network in the Netherlands. So if you haven't downloaded your free e-magazine from the DWIC and the SDN site yet, please do so. I blog at sharepointchick.com. You can email me at miriam@mccall.nl, and you can find me on Twitter at Miriam van Oost. So the objectives of this session are, we will talk about migration of solutions from SharePoint 2007 to SharePoint 2010. We will try to inspire you in some way and warn you about a couple of pitfalls that you'll definitely run into. But we will not talk about best practices because there are no best practices yet. So don't go back from this session and say to your people that, you know, we were saying you should do something in a certain way and it doesn't work, so it's our fault. This will be the agenda. SharePoint 2010 development, what's new? Just a little overview of what's new in 2010, only a short one. Then a lot on upgrading solutions from SharePoint 2007 to SharePoint 2010. A little piece on migrating STP files to WSP files to Visual Studio solutions. We will talk a little bit about using existing 2007 code in 2010. And we will talk about deprecated APIs for a little bit.
Okay, let's get started. This presentation will be without any demos. It will be dead by PowerPoint. We're going to finish you off in this last session. We have something like 90 slides, but we will go through that very fast. First of all, I would like to hold a small poll. I assume everyone is doing SharePoint development here. I would like to know what kind of tools are currently in use with the people here. So who's using WSP Builder? Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That will be the majority. SCS Dev, someone? Okay. Are there people using the Microsoft tooling, the Visual Studio extensions? Also a few. Okay. And who created their own tooling because they had to fill in a gap? Okay. There is some overlap there, so probably some people extended tools and have been working with WSP Builder, built things around that. Well, we started quite early with our ideas around SharePoint development. We started in 2003, version 2003, with all kind of custom development tools. Did that the same when 2007 came out. So there was no WSP Builder yet, so we did everything ourselves. I will talk a little bit about that, about things that we did. But most of it we will talk about, okay, the standard tools, what can you do to migrate tools like WSP Builder or the Visual Studio extensions. And we are now going to 2010, and now finally Microsoft has their own good development story
Finally, there is a 2010 version of development tools integrated in Visual Studio 2010. And you will see that other tools like WSP Builder still has a version of 2010. It's already in beta. And there will also be a market for that kind of tooling. If you're not really satisfied with the structure that the new SharePoint tooling is providing you, or if you want to be compatible between 2007 solutions and 2010 solutions, it might be a good idea to stick with WSP Builder. But I think most people will go over to the new version of what Microsoft is providing. If you look at all those tools, they actually only have one goal in mind, and that is building a WSP package. You don't want to do everything by hand like in the past, that you created your DDF files, that you created your manifest files by hand and had to package everything up yourself. You want to automate that, and that's what all those tools do. It's the same with our tooling. We have our own structure of organizing our files, and we also built eventually the WSP file. And if you look at the tooling, there are actually two approaches. The first approach is what I call the 1280 GEC approach. It's where there is a structure with the 12 hive. If you look at the 2007 tooling, you have the structure of the 12 hive. You see that in the right corner, where you structure all your artifacts for SharePoint. You have an 80 folder where you have the assemblies that you want to get deployed to the web application folder. And you have a GEC folder where you put your assemblies that you want to have deployed to the GEC. Another approach is more of an abstraction approach, and that is what the Visual Studio extensions are doing and what we are doing in our tooling as well, where you have your own project structure, where you organize all your artifacts, where you organize your code, and everything is transformed and interpreted and built into your actual WSP package. If you look at what WSP Builder is doing, it's really a 1280 GEC approach. You have the structure, you see that in the top window, the structure with 12, with 80, with GEC, the bin and object folders are created during the compilation. And this folder is transformed into a WSP package using a command line tool. If you look at the Visual Studio extensions for WSS, you see that they have their own structure. You see the feature structure with the artifacts in there, and you see folders for every artifact. And what they do in that approach is that every artifact gets its own feature, so you get a load of features if you build the WSP packages with this approach. This is a slide where you see the approach that we were taking. We have on the complete left side the project structures. We have a lot of standard projects, for example, for web parts, for site definitions, for features. And, for example, in the center window, you see what we do for web part. We have a complete structure within our project where we put our images, where we put user controls for the visual designed web parts, where we put resources. So we have a completely predefined structure within Visual Studio. And we transform that structure into what we actually need, the WSP package. On the right side, you see how a feature is constructed. We have a folder sample feature in there, always a feature folder, a feature receiver folder, and a feature image. And in there, we have the artifacts for SharePoint, and we construct that into a feature into the WSP package. So this is also an abstraction approach that we are taking. If you look at all those toolings, they all use some kind of Visual Studio extensibility. You want to improve your development experience. So most of the things that are done is that you edit your code in Visual Studio. You have actions to do a quick deploy, to recycle your application pool, to provide guidance around how you create your SharePoint artifacts. And if you look at how they do that, I have some screenshots of what they do. Is, for example, the Visual Studio extensions for WSS, they have actions like your build, your package, your quick deploy, so you don't have to create a WSP package, deploy this WSP package, and then test your code, but you can do a kind of xcopy deployment. And if you look at WSP Builder, they take the same approach, copy to 12 hive, so you can copy your SharePoint artifacts from your 12 folder to the actual 12 folder and test out your things. You can deploy your assemblies. In our tooling, we took a similar approach, and we call it the factory guide. We have a kind of control where we can control, can put actions for all kinds of things. Can be SharePoint related actions, but can also be for other server products. And here we have the same things like building your WSP package, install a feature, uninstall a feature, copy files to the GAC, that kind of stuff. Okay, you have seen probably, because I think most of you are developers, you've seen some presentations on development with the new tooling. Probably been to Steve Fox's presentation. Who has been to his presentations? Yeah, most of you. Okay, so you have already seen how slow the development tooling and the application recycles, etc., is in Visual Studio during a presentation. So what we did, we created most of them. We go through those same steps, but we created screenshots so we can go through it very fast. And what I want to do now is look at some of the capabilities of 2010 so we can see, well, if we're going to migrate, where can we migrate to? What kind of options do we have available? And what I try to do here is to not show the really obvious things that you've already seen, but show some of the corners, like, okay, did you know that this was in there? Did you know that that was in there? So I hope there's not too much overlap. If you've already seen some things, bear with me. But I think most of the things are more in the obscure corners. One of the things is, well, the mapped project folders into the SharePoint root. The SharePoint root is the new name of the 12 hive or the 14 hive. So what you can do is create folders that are mapped actually into that hive. One thing that you will see in the new tooling is that every artifact gets its own folder. We'll talk a bit about that. That you can combine artifacts into a feature. If you look at the Visual Studio extensions for WSS, you saw that every artifact gets its own feature. So if you add a master page, you get a feature for a master page. If you add a content type, you get a feature for a content type. Some other things is how can you specify your assemblies, your safe controls, and another thing that you can do is if you have certain things that you want to end up in your manifest file, but that are not generated by the tooling itself, there is a template manifest file where you can add those elements. For example, if you have code access security policies, you can put them into the template manifest file, and if your code also supports all the code access stuff, then you can make sure that your WSP package is a good behaving citizen in SharePoint land. Okay, we go very fast through some slides. I'll take this in my hand. First, we create our first little project. You select the .NET 3.5 framework because Visual Studio is still targeting the 3.5 framework, while Visual Studio itself, the new version, is targeting the .NET 4 framework. You specify, you've seen the screenshot a lot already, you specify the site you want to use for debugging, you specify if you want a sandbox solution or a farm solution. We take a farm solution here. And then you get your empty SharePoint project. Then, within the SharePoint project, if you're going to compile this project, you see, when you do a build, that all the code within this project structure is compiled and will end up in a single DLL. It's into one project, so your SharePoint WSP package is one SharePoint project. So you get one DLL, and as soon as you hit package, the actual WSP is built. So then the transformation is done into the WSP package. And one of the great things about the new tooling is that for every WSP package, you have certain requirements on how you want to deploy it, especially when you are doing development. So during your development, you could choose that you want to retract your solution, do an IIS reset, deploy the solution, do an IIS reset again. So you can say, well, I want to make a configuration where I want to execute those steps during deployment. And the good thing is that if those steps that you would like to have are not already available, then you can extend this complete system using the Visual Studio extensibility for SharePoint. And you can, for example, add steps for doing a quick deploy, doing Xcopy deployment. Wouter van Vught, who was talking in his room just before us, created some extensions for doing that kind of stuff. So you can speed up your development cycle, because standard out of the box, you always build your WSP file. You're going to retract the old one, deploy the new one, do an IIS reset or an application pool recycle, and test. And this cycle can become quite cumbersome, especially if you want to test out some things very fast, and especially if you are developing on a SharePoint server big environment where you have a lot of services running. If you are developing for WSS, it goes, or SharePoint Foundation is the new name, it goes quite fast, because what you have to do is an application pool recycle, and all those services will get started up again, have to do caching, etc. So this cycle can be really cumbersome, especially if you just change some files, some user control files, and you just want those files deployed to the 14 hive, the SharePoint root. Okay, the first step is the mapped folders. So you can create mapped folders, and what you can do is you get a selector on the left, you see it on the left side, a selector into the SharePoint root, and you can say, okay, I have a folder with this name, or actually it picks the name that you select, for example, templates, or you can pick another one, and then it will create within that a folder with the namespace of your solution. So to get some namespacing of artifacts that they don't get mixed up altogether, and that's the default approach. You can rename things there, you can add extra folders. So there is a great mapping approach that if you have the 12 hive where you want to, or the 14 hive, where you want assets, artifacts to be deployed, you can do whatever you want. You see on the left side, the package explorer, a bit of a strange thing is that you see a flat file structure there. So if you see repeating files, it can be that those files are actually somewhere in this custom directory structure. So be aware of that. Another thing, if you, for example, create a user control is by default deployed to the control templates folder into the SharePoint root, into the 14 hive. And what does the Visual Studio 2010 tooling do? If you create a user control, it automatically creates one of those folder mappings and puts the files in there. So you get your ACX file in there, the code behind in there. The code behind will be compiled during the transformation to your WSP package, and the ACX file will get deployed because it's packaged as a root file. Another great thing about the new tooling is good support for application pages. Does anyone know what application pages are? Those are, yeah, probably a few hands. Those are the pages that you have running in your underscore layouts folder. So all the administrative pages that you see in SharePoint are in the are application pages. And in the new version of the tooling, you can create your application pages, including code behind. They will be deployed to the SharePoint root, and you can run them in context of your site. So you create a page that, if you execute that page, it's running in the context of the current site. Within, and that's why I put up the code here, within the application pages, you see some cool features that are in the new tooling. For example, the replaceable parameters. It's a kind of tokening system where you can provide a token. Here it's a token, SharePoint project.full assembly name, between dollar signs. And if you put in that token, it will be replaced by the full name of your assembly. There are some other tokens, like the dynamic tokens for the master pages. And you have, what you can do here, connect a master page to your application page. Something that could be done in 2007, but you had to do it in your own code and do some extra things for it. Now you have the same master page that you use for your site, you use for your administrative pages as well. Depends on what kind of master page you specify. And that's where the dynamic tokens are for. It's a bit of a detailed slide. I will not go exactly into everything, but some interesting thing on this is you have custom code in your application pages. So you have code behind, can do everything you want. Pages run in the SharePoint context, as I already said, live in the 14 hive. And you have some pages that are safeguarded. There are some pages that must always work within SharePoint. And because you can specify a master page that will be used by all application pages, also the application pages used by SharePoint itself. They have some pages, and you see a list there with the safeguarded application pages, that if your master page can't be loaded or fails, it will always fall back to the default master page. Another thing is that you don't have designer support on those application pages. It looks promising, there is a designer file there, but it doesn't work. The replaceable parameters, this is the list that is available. You can't really extend that list, although Waldeck in the back did write a blog post about how you can take an approach to create your custom tokens and do that by the steps where the transformation is done of your files through MS Build, that you can add an extra step or a post step where you do your custom transformations and can execute your own tokens. Actually, we did a kind of same approach in our approach for the McCall Solutions Factory. We had another character, a double bracket character, and we could put any PowerShell code in there. We did a lot with PowerShell in our factory. And we actually took the same approach to extend assemblies, to execute parts of code, to create all the include files in XML, or include all kind of image files and XML files. So we took a similar approach. I'm going to try to port this approach as an extension to the toolset that's already available. And this is a quick look if you have an application page, what is mapped to what if you see the application page. It has the same visualization as your site has, and you see in the URL that it is running in underscore layouts and then your application page, and you see that the master page is applied with all the content placeholders. One of the other great things is that finally there's visual web part support. It uses the user control that is loaded in the actual web part code. And here full support for design mode is available. And why I included this element is to show you that every artifact that you add to your solution, for example, a visual web part, will get its own folder. So I created a My Visual Web Part, and you see in the solution structure there on the right side of the project structure that there is a folder My Visual Web Part. It has an elements.xml file that can be included into your feature. Your feature will exist of loading a set of element files. You have your C# code, you have your user control, you have your web part definition. So it's all contained in one folder. Another thing, if you create an event receiver, you get another folder. If you create a content type, you get another folder.
You also create subfolders with the web parts within the subfolder?
I think the short answer is no. I think the longer answer is that it will work for some artifacts, that you can move them around. For example, if you create a content type, it's just an XML file in there. So if you move that into another folder, it will not really be a problem. I don't know if it automatically updates your feature reference to that folder. I think it doesn't. So you could organize some stuff, but it's not designed that way. So you soon get artifact overload. If you have 20 fields, you get 20 folders. And I asked Wouter why they did this, because he was in contact with the development team from the beginning on. And he said, well, there's one good reason to do it this way. This way you always know what kind of artifacts are there, and you have a similar structure. Normally you would say, I have 20 fields, put that in one file. I have 5 content types, put that in another file. In this way, it's quite easy to create designers on top of it. Because you know the structure, it's quite easy to create, as an extension, a visual designer for your fields, for your content types. I hope that they will make up their mind and change this, because what you said, I would like a kind of folder structuring so you could hide all your content types, hide all your fields, and not have this huge list of artifacts. We will show how worse it can get a little bit later on. And then we come to the feature designer. You have seen this one in all the talks. What you do is you select which artifacts, which SharePoint items you want to be included, to have included into your feature. There's a nice designer. You can move files left and right, or artifacts left and right. So it's a kind of visual designer for creating your feature. And the next step is the package explorer. You can look how your package is structured, what kind of features ended up in your package, what artifacts are in those features. So this is a way of visualizing how your WSP package will eventually look like. Some things you don't see. For example, you don't see which assemblies are deployed. You don't see your GEC assemblies or your web application folder assemblies. And you also don't see, for example, I had those three images, those three test images. They all end up in the same level, although there is a folder structure underneath them. So if you click on the item, look at the properties, you can see, hey, it's not three times overriding the same image. They are actually in three different locations. And then you can add your assemblies to your WSP package. You can say, do they have to be deployed to the GEC, or do they have to be deployed to the web application? You can mark the types in the assemblies that you want to have as safe controls. You can add resource assemblies. So in this way, you can compose your complete WSP package. Okay, so this is the infrastructure that we can land on. So what could you do if you come, for example, from WSP Builder? Well, there are actually two approaches. Either you transform it in this new structure, or you keep it the way it is and you use WSP Builder 2010. That might be a good approach for if you just want to keep it as is and you're happy working with it as is. If you're going to transform it to the new tooling of Microsoft, the first easy step that you could do is say, well, I can create mapped folders into the SharePoint root. So I have the 12 folder in my WSP Builder project. I copy over everything somewhere into the same structure as mapped folders. If you do that, you have your assemblies in there, you have everything in there, you will see that the manifest.xml file that is generated does not include all your artifacts. So what you could do, it does include all the root file artifacts. You could copy pieces of your manifest file generated by the WSP Builder, put that into the template manifest file. It's called the package.template.xml file, and get things going. Next step would be, okay, I want to add the code to my project, and then the assembly that comes out of that code I want to include through the package explorer, and then you can take it out of your 12 hive structure. So then you can improve step by step. It's a little bit simplistic approach, but it could be a first approach to get things working. Another approach is to say, well, there is in the new tooling a possibility to import a WSP package. So that's the first thing I tried. We have a kind of template project in our factory that's compilable, that you can roll out, that has everything in it, the kind of artifacts that we support. So I imported this template solution using the import SharePoint solution package option. What this does, it creates a new project, so it's not something that you include something into an existing project. It creates a new project. You specify where you want to debug. If you want to have a farm solution, well, this is a farm solution, so I selected farm solution. Selected the WSP package. Then you get a nice screen where you can select the items that you want to import. I want to import everything, so I selected everything. And here you see the kind of items that I have in this package. It's a content type, custom actions, actually three custom actions, some controlled by resources. I have some fields. I have a list definition, I have a master page, I have some artifacts that I want to import. And then, after importing, I got this nice error message. Something went wrong. It didn't say what went wrong, but something went wrong. But if I looked at my solution, most of the assets did come over. You see that a lot of assets are generated. A lot of artifact folders. For example, for every field there is a folder, for the content type a folder, for the custom actions are our folders. So you see that a lot of folders get created. You see also that everything that finally ended up in my transformation package of our factory into the 12 hive, in that root files structure, is copied over to the same root file structure. So you see some assemblies in there, some executables, because that was in the resulting WSP package as well. And if you compile this solution, or if you look at what kind of manifest is generated from what I imported, it only had the root files and one assembly, the assembly of the project that was generated, and one feature, an empty feature, that was generated for my project. If I look at the manifest file that was in the WSP package, there was a lot more information in there. So it actually lost most of my information. So some things went okay. Feature elements got converted, like the list definition, the modules, fields, content types, everything went okay. Root files got converted, but some things didn't go that okay. For example, a strange thing, the GUID of my solution was converted from uppercase to lowercase. Well, I don't think it really matters in SharePoint with respect to the solution ID. But my site definitions, gone. All features, gone. Well, and there are some other things that were completely gone or got their own structure. So the WSP import does not seem really the right way to go. If you do some investigations on what happens in the tooling, you see that if you open the feature.feature file where the feature is described, you see that in there, if you open it open with as an XML file, that there is a kind of, well, you can call it a domain-specific language. They have their own language of describing what a feature looks like. So in the designer, in the feature designer, you can drag feature elements, SharePoint artifacts into a feature. That will end up in an XML structure. You could manipulate this XML structure yourself, so you could create an import tool that directly manipulates this XML structure, but there is also a complete SharePoint project system available in Visual Studio. It's an extension on the Visual Studio extensibility. And using this extension mechanism, you have certain interfaces that you can directly talk to, for example, your feature projects. So there's an iSharePoint project feature, and through this interface, you can add SharePoint items to your feature. Well, looking one step further, the same is true for your package. So you have features, you have your package. You can manipulate that through the SharePoint project system as well. So you can add features to packages. You can say which are my safe controls, which assemblies are included. So actually, there's a complete infrastructure available if you want to write tooling from your version of tooling, for example, WSP Builder, to a SharePoint structure. And you can configure everything the way you want. And that is exactly what Microsoft did. They created a package that you can download, a VSIX extension package for SharePoint that you can download from the download site for Microsoft. They just published a new version a few days ago. And what you can do, you can import their supported solution type, the Visual Studio extension for WSS, into the new structure. There's a nice white paper written about it. If you download the presentation deck, I have some links in it to all the white papers, the tooling, etc. And what it does, it converts your existing project to the 2010 project, includes all your code, but tries to do as little as possible to your structure. So what happens? You install the tool. You suck in your original project. It gets transformed to your existing structure gets transformed to a 2010 project. And then you can use the SharePoint tooling to do refactoring on that. You can move SharePoint artifacts into your features. You can move features into packages. So you can move everything around. So you can do your refactoring of this original package to your new structure. Because if you look, if you look at what happens is if you import this structure, you get this same one-on-one, one artifact is one feature approach also in the new structure. So we go through the steps. You import your project. You say it's a full trust or a sandbox solution. You specify the location of the project you want to convert. And then if you look at what is created, on the left side, you have the WSP viewer in the Visual Studio extensions for WSS. You see the artifacts, SharePoint artifacts created there. And if you look at the right side, in the new structure, you see the same artifacts. And now everything has its own feature. You can refactor everything in your new structure. So you can say, well, I want three features, and those artifacts has to be moved into those features. And then in the Package Explorer, you can include your features into your package. Here you see a screenshot of this refactoring. On the left side, you saw every artifact has a feature, and on the right side, there are two features, a custom list feature and a site feature, and we distributed the created features, the created artifacts over those features. So finally, one of the big issues with the old tooling, where you have all those features created, you now finally can create your set of features, partition everything, and get it clean. Okay, so there are some approaches on migrating your code. Probably, if you are on WSP Builder, the easiest approach, if you want to go over to 2010, is reorganizing things into the new structure and do that manually. You could create some tooling using the extensibility stuff. Or if you're on the Visual Studio extensions for WSS, you're lucky, it only gets better. But what if my cool tool feature is gone? For example, the quick deploy stuff that you have in WSP Builder or in Visual Studio extensions for WSS is not available in the new tool set. And there's a really powerful platform that I already mentioned, the Visual Studio extensibility for SharePoint. And we have two Dutch heroes that already created a lot of extensions, Wouter van Vught and Waldeck, who was in the back, he's gone now. But he created some great extensions. And here you see some screenshots of what kind of extensions they are creating. For example, Wouter van Vught created all kind of stuff for quick deployment, for visualizing more things in the Server Explorer. And also Waldeck created all kind of things in the Server Explorer. For example, create an ASP.NET definition for a list that you have, to edit directly your master pages and your page layouts in SharePoint. So you can open the Server Explorer, you see your master pages and page layouts, you double-click it, you can edit it, save it back. All these great extensions are already created currently in the community. If you look at CodePlex, you can find them. But one good thing is happening because everyone is creating his own tooling. It's overlapping tooling. So Wouter, Waldeck, and some guys from England came together and said, well, isn't it better if we create a community kit? So that's what they did. They uploaded all their code in one project on CodePlex, and in the first part of February, they hope to refactor everything, take out the duplicate actions, and get a set of tools that can be used by any developer, any SharePoint developer that's going to hop on the 2010 train. If you would like your own features in there, like custom tools that you currently use, drop them a line, send them an email, put it on the CodePlex as a requested feature, and they probably, because they're really busy with it now, look at it and include it in a new tool set. That's my story. Miriam will take it over from here. Any questions so far that I can answer quickly now? Otherwise, we have time at the end, but burning questions? Good.
Okay, so that was the really cool stuff on actually migrating your code. So we're now going to move on to a couple of other topics. The first one will be upgrading STP files. So how many of you have created STP files within SharePoint 2007 and deployed sites on them? So there is actually a couple of people that did that. There are no more STP files within SharePoint 2010, so we need to come up with a solution for that. There were a lot of UI changes, and that will get us a lot of challenges when we're migrating those STP files, or you know, finding a solution for that to migrate them into 2010. We're going to save a site as a template 2010 style. I will also talk about using existing 2007 code in SharePoint 2010, and I will talk a little bit about the deprecated APIs. So this is the process that you need to take if you want to migrate STP files from SharePoint 2007 to SharePoint 2010. So first you'll create an STP file, a template. You create a 2007 site on that, as you probably did a lot. You will upgrade that site to SharePoint 2010, because you can't upgrade the STP file. You need to fix issues within that site, and there will be issues in that site. And then once your site looks good again in the new 2010 environment, you save your site as a template again, and that will get you a WSP file. So it will get you a SharePoint solution file. They call this the backwards compatible UI, which basically means that when you upgrade your SharePoint 2007 site to SharePoint 2010, it will still look the same as it did in SharePoint 2007. So there will be toolbars in there. It will use the SharePoint 2007 CSS file and the SharePoint 2007 themes and master pages. So when you deploy SharePoint 2010 and you migrate your stuff, in your SharePoint 2010 environment, you will actually get your 2007 master pages and style sheets stored. There won't be any interactive calendars, no in-place wiki editing, and there won't be a ribbon when you migrate your site. So what you can do once you've migrated your site, you can go into the preview of your new site in the new UI. So you can say preview this site in the version 4 or SharePoint 2010 UI. You will no doubt run into issues. You can fix those by doing some 2010 development. And after that, you can say, well, upgrade this site to the new UI now and, you know, really use your site the way it was supposed to be used in 2010. And you can do this on a site-by-site basis. So this is what that looks like. This is a site collection setting. You go into the site settings, site collection administration, and you go to supported user exceptions, experiences, sorry. That's right. And this is only available when you upgraded your site. So you can tell here whether you want to hide the user experience options from site settings to prevent changes within this site collection. So that will make it impossible for users of subsites to decide what UI they want to use on their site. You can also say use the latest user experience for all sites within this site collection, which basically means that you're upgrading all the sites within that site collection to the new UI in one big step. Do make sure that all sites work before you do that. So if you don't use any of those settings, you can use the site options. In site settings, you go to title, description, and appearance, which is available if you're still in the 2007 UI mode. And you can choose whether you want to keep the previous SharePoint user experience, which is basically the look and feel of your 2007 site. You can preview the new SharePoint user experience, but that lets you return back to your previous user experience. So if there are still issues in there, you can turn your site back to the old look and feel and have users work with it till you resolved all the issues. And you can use the new SharePoint user experience and you won't be asked again. So that will definitely migrate your site one final time to the new user interface. Yeah, the bottom one is the point of no return, yeah, for that site. So there's also a couple of object model options. So you can use these settings through the UI. You have the spweb.ui version, where you can use either version 3 or 4, where 3 is 2007. And on a site collection level, you have the SPUI version configuration enabled version, property, or the UI version configuration enabled in all webs property. So that lets you tell the sites through the object model whether you want to be able to set that manually. So what has changed in SharePoint CSS for 2010? Basically everything. So any customizations that you made in SharePoint 2007 on CSS files or master pages will probably need to be redesigned in 2010. The good news is that we're now fully XHTML compliant, or that's the official story. We are compliant, but there's still a lot of dirty HTML in there. Another big change in 2010 is that there's no more toolbars, so there's only ribbons. So if you have any custom commands that you placed in the toolbars, they will be moved to the custom custom commands part of the ribbon. You can also show the ribbon and the toolbar by modifying the list form WebArt properties, but I'm not sure whether you want to do that, because I do think that in the end you will want to go and use the ribbon. So we're going to do a demo in slides, how you move from an STP file to Visual Studio 2010 solution. So these are the same steps I mentioned before. You create an STP template, you create a 2007 site, you upgrade the sites, you fix the issues, you save the site as a template, and you have a WSP file that you can import into Visual Studio. This is my 2010 site, so I already did the upgrade of the site. You can save the site as template from the ribbon. So new UI already, fixed issues, which will get you the web interface of what happens when you save a site as template. Basically, this looks almost the same as it did in SharePoint 2007. You can enter a file name, a template name, and you can say whether you want to include the content of the site or not within the template. This will create a user solution in the user solution gallery. So basically, it will create a sandboxed solution for you. So the site that you saved as a template is now a sandboxed solution. And you can click on the link in here to go to the user solution gallery, which is the gallery where the sandbox solutions are stored. You can activate the solution, so basically deploy it, so you can actually use it. And the new site template will then be available to you when you create a new site through the UI. Now, this is how you can use it, but now you want to investigate the solution package. So you save the solution to your hard drive, you rename it to a CAP file, so you can actually open it and inspect it. You extract all the files, and you can look through the extracted folder structure. That will get you this folder structure. It looks like a lot, but it's actually still pretty clean. There's not too many features in there. The manifest looks pretty good. So what we want to do is import the solution package into Visual Studio 2010 so we can make changes to it, deploy it again, and use that within our environment. So we use the import SharePoint solution package option again. That will give you this. And this is basically a very long list of files and elements. You will get a new feature element web template to specify that the website template is now being used. And this is basically the sandboxed solution version of the webtemp.xml. So you still have site definitions where you would use the webtemp.xml file to specify which site you're creating or you want to create. But you can't deploy a webtemp.xml to a sandboxed solution because you can't deploy to your file system. So this is basically the sandboxed solution version of that. So there's many, many properties in here, all set on the original site probably, not all necessary to have in here, but they are all imported. And the manifest file is now huge. So instead of the little one that we see here at the bottom here, when you import it into Visual Studio, all sorts of stuff that was somewhere in the package, no doubt, is now basically transformed into the manifest file. So you have lots and lots of element files and lots of feature files. So every field gets its own element file. And every field means every field that was available to you within that site. So that means every site column that was available in that site, even if you didn't use it, will be exported into the package and will now get its own element file here. Also, you get many property bags with many properties that you will never use and that you will have never seen before, and they will get their own element.xml file as well. So you can kind of see what a big mess this is getting. So the export of a site to a WSP file is basically a great solution because it enables you to make changes to what you exported and theoretically import it again and use it. The import option into Visual Studio is also pretty cool, but probably still needs a little bit of improvement. You can reduce the number of artifacts that are loaded into Visual Studio by pre-processing the WSP files, or even by modifying the solution that you get when after you've imported the file. But it's very time-consuming and it's very dangerous. I tried it a couple of times and I messed it up a couple of times as well, and then you're not able to restore your site anymore. So there's no real site life cycle. You can't really export from create your site in SharePoint Designer, create a save site as template, create a WSP, import that, restore the site, get a new site instance, and export that again, because you get all this junk in there, basically. So there still needs to be some work done on that before that will really work very well. But we're getting somewhere. So suppose you have some existing 2007 code. You want to use that in 2010, but you don't really want to rebuild it. You know, you don't need to change it. You don't want to convert your project into a 2010 solution. Most WSS and MOS code that runs within IIS will work, so you don't have to recompile that. If you have MOS 2007 code that runs within timer services, so that's workflows, feature receivers, and timer jobs, you will need to recompile that. So you need to have those look at the SharePoint 2010 Microsoft SharePoint DLL and recompile it. If code runs outside of IIS and utilizes the SharePoint object model, it will need to be recompiled, or you will have to provide binding redirects. So you will need to tell it where it can find the new object model. There are a couple of deprecated APIs, just as there were in SharePoint 2007, so from 2010. If you recompile your application for 2010 and you've been using APIs that are now deprecated, you will see warnings. That doesn't matter, because usually you can just still use them, and they're there, so they are backwards compatible, so you can still use your old solutions. That's why they're not removed from the object model. Just if you create new solutions, don't keep using them, because they might disappear at some point. Actually, most APIs that were deprecated in 2007 are still in 2010, so most solutions that are, you know, that old from way back can still be used in 2010. But Microsoft will not invest in these APIs in the future, so just be aware of that. So, as a summary, there are many, many very interesting new development features in Visual Studio 2010 and in SharePoint 2010. And we really believe that it will be worth it to now start using, actually, the Microsoft tools instead of, you know, creating all your own tools. And they will still be extended in many ways by basically everyone, probably, doing serious development. But the tools itself, the basis is really good now, so you can actually use that. The answer to all the questions with regards to importing code and upgrading it from 2007 to 2010 is basically, it depends. What's the best way? We don't know. It completely depends on what your code was like, what you want to use it for, and how you want to move on into the future. There are no more STP files in 2010, so if you've been using them a lot and you need to upgrade them, really think about that and come up with a strategy for that, and make sure you take enough time to do that properly. The import of WSP files into Visual Studio 2010 is really cool, but probably needs a little bit of work. And some of the SharePoint 2007 code that you want to use in 2010 will need to be recompiled. So with that, again, please, if you leave the building, donate some money for Haiti, for the victims of the earthquake next to the exit, and other important stuff. Please fill in your feedback, because it's really important to us, and you can win an Xbox with that. So with that, thank you. And if there are any questions, please come up to the mic or just shout really loud.
No questions. Everything clear? Ah, the question.
Sorry, I didn't hear the question right.
I'm trying to figure out the way in 2010, at the moment, I just click a site altogether in the UI that makes the content types, lists, etc. And I think the solution generator actually make it a site template. It was a previous Google project, and I work from there. But that's now replaced by the functionality of saving
It should be.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's quite a mess that you get, but you can clean up the mess. So the elements are in there. So your content types, your field types, everything is in there. But probably a lot of people will create extension tooling that you just can right-click in the Server Explorer, say, okay, I have my complete field set, my custom field set. You can select which elements you want, which content types you want, and it just extracts those and creates a nice package for that.
Okay, but Microsoft is working on something like that, or is it?
We don't know what will come up in the RTM version, but they work mostly on a system that's really extensible. And you should look at it, it's really easy to extend it. If you were at the talk of Wouter van Vught yesterday, okay, well you see how easy it is to extend. So their first thing that they want to do is create an extensible system so the community can build the tools. And if you look at the community, if you look at CodePlex and you search for SharePoint, there are almost 1,000 projects on there. So the whole community really jumped onto SharePoint and really cool stuff will come out there. Better stuff, I think, than the team in Microsoft can develop, because they are, it's the Visual Studio team, finally, that's developing the tools. That's good, so they have all the extensibility, but they don't work with SharePoint. So they try on feedback to create some tooling, but it is better that the community creates those tooling based on real experiences, on real projects. So I think really great extensions will come out of the community really soon.
Yeah.
Other questions? Then the conference is finished.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much.